Good day and welcome to the podcast, To Be More. I'm your host, TJ Smith. To be more is exactly what we want. We want to be more than some of the problems that exist in our metro area. Back in 2011, then-Mayor Stephanie Rollins Blake and the Waterfront Partnership unveiled a bold initiative, Healthy Harbor. They announced a $221 million plan to make the harbor swimmable and fishable by 2020. Many laughed at the idea, and I can hear the laughter now. And I guess that's plausible, considering the history of the harbor. But there is nothing wrong with a strategic plan to reduce trash and sewage at one of Maryland's crown jewels. Since then, Baltimore has added four Mr. Trash wheels. You've likely seen them. They're semi-autonomous trash interceptors that are placed at the end of a river or stream or other outfall. And they are also sustainably powered and built to withstand the biggest storms. And they use a unique blend of solar and hydropower to pull hundreds of tons of trash out of the water each year. Just recently, we had a lot of wind and I saw it knock the eyeball off of one of the trash wheels, but it was still operational. In 2019, Baltimore banned styrofoam ahead of the entire state, which ultimately was first in the nation to go foam-free. And in 2021, the city banned plastic bags. In addition, the plan called for fixing some of the aging infrastructure in hopes of capping off some of the storm water runoffs that go into the harbor. While naysayers would be critical of the progress of the Healthy Harbor Plan, others like myself will point out the notable progress. In 2020, at the height of the COVID-19 lockdown, the water around the harbor was clearer than I've ever seen it. Crabs, number one males, I might add, were clearly visible, and nice-sized stripers were easy to spot. And if you ever see my guest today around the waterways downtown, odds are you will see him pulling in a big fish and whatever else the harbor has to offer. So with that, Mr. Fidel Bryant from the fishing channel, Fishing with Fidel on YouTube. He's one of many fishermen who take advantage of the opportunities we have right here in the Baltimore metro area to get out there and go fish. Fidel, thank you very much for joining me, man. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Now, I have to say, you are a fishaholic. I mean, and when I say that, I've been watching your fishing channel, and I've seen you out there during the snow this past winter.
Yes, sir.
Talk Absolutely. To me about that.
My father exposed me to fishing since I was 2 years old, so I've been fishing since I've been two. And fishing is a very good outlet, especially with the COVID pandemic being what it is. It gave me the opportunity to get out and venture. I've always been an outdoorsman. I have always liked nature and everything that came with it. And fishing kind of like was a niche that helped to, enjoy it. It's about being adventurous for me. It's about learning, because fishing is something that you can always grow in understanding. I'm not a fishing guru at all. It's nothing like feeling something at the tip of your rod and all of the hours of patiently waiting for that moment to just hit you and you're right there. It's an excitement, man. It's an excitment. So
right. One of the questions I get often when I'm out there, like, can spend 4 or 5 hours out some days and don't get anything. Mm-hmm. And people want to know, is it boring to stay out there that long and not get anything? And I think you just answered that. Like, it's relaxing.
Yes. It's an outlet. It's very relaxing. It's almost like a drug. You get hooked on that moment when you got something on your rod. Mm-hmm. And you know, the bigger, the better. Right. And so it's you will find patience. Is one of those things, well, for me personally, that I will pour it on in abundance, just waiting for that fish.
And we are all guilty of this. So anyone listening who might be a new fisherman, and you get out on the waterways, and if you're going with your significant other, and they say they're finishing up, and we say this thing, one last cast. One last cast is probably going to be 5, 10, maybe 15 more casts. Because you always think this one more is going to be the one that you can reel that fish in.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. So your dad got you into fishing when you were younger. Did you grow up in Baltimore?
Yes. I grew up on Bloomingdale Road.
Okay. And then, Southwest Baltimore, right?
Yep. Papa Grove and... Bloomingdale turns and runs into Papa Grove.
Right.
And then from there, we lived, grew up on Riggs Avenue, which is Riggs and Papa Grove. Mm-hmm. And that's where I grew up at. And my father was an avid outdoorsman. So he was into fishing and hunting. So our yard, it would be nothing for neighbors to see us come home with a deer. And, you know, we get it strapped up in the tree in the backyard. And we dress it, and we, you know, we got all kinds of venison steaks, venison burgers, rabbit, squirrel, you name it. We had chickens. We would have our own eggs. Mm-hmm. My father was very into that lifestyle. It was something myself and my brother really took on and absorbed. And so, fishing was just one of those things.
And did you fish in the local area in Baltimore when you were younger?
Yes. Did a lot of fishing down at now it's the Leon Day Park area.
Okay.
Dogwood Road, all that back area. Mm-hmm. We would fish that heavily. Trout primarily. Mm-hmm. Local lakes, Lake Roland, mm-hmm. we would fish. Lakes in Centennial Lake and Lake Alcorn in Columbia. Mm-hmm. But those were the primary areas in Baltimore area that we fished.
Cool. Yep. Yeah. It's something, because I remember hearing my mom talk about it, and my grandfather talk about the hunting, the deer and the squirrel and, you know, chickens and all. And seems to be something that kind of left the culture of city residents a bit. Yes. Yeah. And hopefully it's starting to come back, especially fishing. I saw a ton of young, like teens and early 20s around the water. And they wanted to let my son hold the rod. My son's 9, 8 at the time. They wanted to let him hold the rod to bring the fish in. And also, hopefully it's growing. And, you know, that's one of the big things. So I also got to witness your first time going to the Broadway Pier. And it seemed to be a spot you fell in love with down in Fells Point.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about that experience.
The bigger the fish, the better. You know, you can kind of, I did a lot of freshwater fishing. Freshwater meaning lakes. Whereas tidal fishing, which is water that is, that the tide comes in and out, which is affected by the moon. Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of fishing. Bodies of water like that, you don't know what you may run into.
Right.
And that's the excitement of fishing tidal water as opposed to lakes. Don't get me wrong, you got some big stuff in lakes, but you pretty much know what you're going to get. And with tidal, it's, you have no clue. And so just wanting huge fish. I was fishing at Harbor Hospital, and some of the regulars came up and said, man, the stripers are, they're running. And the guy just showed me these pictures, man. I mean, 36-inch, 42-inch stripers. And my wife was with me. So my wife and I, we were chilling at Harbor Hospital. And I'm looking at these pictures. I said, okay. And I left and went there. Probably 2 days later, I went. And I was not prepared when I went down there. I had no clue about how high the pier was from the water.
You didn't have a net.
didn't have a net.
Right, right.
And it was so funny when I finally got the fish, and I realized I couldn't bring it up. I lost two catfish that way.
It's nothing like losing a fish either.
Nothing at all, man.
Nothing like it.
All. I ended up leaving, going to Walmart, and then coming back. And it ended up, I got there around like 9, but the tide was coming in. So it was perfect. And I caught my personal best catfish. It was exciting. I like Fells Point and fishing because of the passersby. They add a different energy and dynamic to it all also. It was so many young guys, late teens, early 20s, that have never experienced fishing.
Right.
It was very interesting just to see how excited they were. That came out of there.
Right, right.
You got that out of there. And guys that just in appearances, they look like, okay, he's walking down this way. I'm going to cross over and walk down that way. They had that look about them.
Right.
But they approach you, and it was like talking to young kids.
Right.
Just the excitement. And it was kind of a social statement about the lack of men in the lives of a lot of young guys.
Yeah.
You know, my dad, my father, he took care of us right along with my mom. But my father was that outdoorsman, and just simple things of, it's an expression. You give a man a fish, you feed him for a day.
That's right.
You teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime.
That's right.
And that is a saying that covers so many aspects in life in general. And it really made me appreciate fishing more. My wife is not an outdoor person at all. But there were quite a few times that she's been with me on my adventures.
I was about to say, I see her out there with you. So, you know, she seemed to be the ride or die. Like, she's out there.
Yes, she is.
Yes,
she is. And it's so fun to live the excitement through someone else's eyes. And so when I've caught fish and I'm like, you want to bring this in? And she's, what am I doing? It's exciting. It's very enjoyable. Fishing is very therapeutic, even, you know, regardless of what the outdoor temperature or the weather may be for that day, it's nothing like it.
Yeah. Well, you brought up stripers, and for those listening again, stripers are rockfish, and at different points of the year, there are limits on how many you can take. And there are limits on the sizes that you can get. And these bad boys get big. And you heard some of the sizes, 36, 42 inches. And you get a lot of meat off of the fish. Yes. I've caught some, you know, out on the big waters, you know, the 40 inch rockfish that get you 8 humongous fillets that feed the entire family for days. And and people love it. You go to the supermarket and see the price on those rockfish too. You see why people try to go fishing. What other type of fish? You said the catfish, your personal best. How big was that?
That catfish was about 20 pounds.
A 20 pound cat.
20 pounds.
In the
catfish world, that's still small.
Mm.
I look at other channels of guys down in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 30, 40 pound catfish.
Yeah. I have seen some grown men looking catfish that are long as people. No, I don't want one.
Yes, indeed. Conowingo Dam is another one, another area in Maryland that has huge catfish. A young guy, a teenager, he may have been 14, 15. He was on the news. He had caught, I want to say it was an 80 pound catfish early part of last year. And, I mean, it's just a thrill, man. It's just a thrill. So it's been catfish, and again for the size, carp, also
yes.
for the size, largemouth bass, which is primarily what I grew up on in catching, and then of course trout.
Right.
And so those have been the species of fish that I've targeted. Right. Stripers, I did not really target seriously for the first time in my life since last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was learning the ins and outs of what's legal, what isn't,
mm-hmm.
Just how the conservation efforts are in place and why they are in place to keep that species of fish healthy.
So you got
continuous action long term, because you're not killing off the species by taking everything out as soon as you catch it.
Yeah, and this is a good point to remind people. Oftentimes, people like you, myself, and many others will sport fish. We'll catch them and weigh them and throw them back, take a picture and throw them back. You know, sometimes they're caught to eat, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. And then sometimes they're caught just for the sport of it. That's all part of the game. And you'll hear different terminology, the big fish, like we're talking about now for this area. But then you have the panfish, like spot fish. What else? What are the other panfish? It's been too long.
You got bluegill.
Yeah, the bluegill.
Sunfish.
Sunfish.
Crappie.
Yeah, you can catch those down at the harbor area. Mm-hmm. Port Covington area, a nice park over there with a pier, which mm-hmm. was another question I had for you. So you like the Broadway Pier, and I do as well. I haven't fished much over there, but I do like it. And that social atmosphere. But would you like to see at that Inner Harbor area, Fells Point Inner Harbor, Canton, whatever, a nice fishing pier exclusively for fishermen?
Yes.
That's something that I think that we could really benefit from, that I wish I was in the conversation in 2011 when we were talking about the healthy harbor. Part of this $221 million. Let's start working towards a fishing pier as well.
Right.
Because what you brought up as well with these young men, we both share similar stories where these young men come up and they see this moment and they become the student. Doesn't matter how old they are, they become the student mm-hmm. and they want to learn. They're thirsty to learn. Mm-hmm. And you've had that experience a few times, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's something that it kind of surprises me initially, because mm-hmm. it's like a rite of passage to be exposed to fishing as a young boy, but it's not the case. And a lot of young guys are without fathers mm-hmm. and for various reasons, but it kind of goes into some of the reasons why things from a negative standpoint are there. It's just mm-hmm. the home front is not solid and stable in ways that the product, which is us as people, are at our advocates, their assets to society.
Right.
And so it's like a lot of, it starts at home. And so, something as simple as learning how to cast a rod or mm-hmm. change a tire, those very simple things, to young individuals whose parents took the time to teach them, but it's a lot that have not been exposed to that.
And it is. I'm such a huge advocate of just the exposure.
Yes.
And we use a lot of these puns today because you can hook them. You can hook them onto something.
Yep.
And if you think about one of the things that we mentioned, the hours that you can spend fishing. And you think of how many young men, and this is not exclusive to men. It's a lot of women that are out there as well.
Yep.
But you just think of the young men that might spend 4, 6, 8 hours fishing. And that time is now not spent doing something else. It is a rite of passage that, again, I know we're talking heavily about young men. However, it's a lot of young women out there doing it as well. So
yes.
I totally agree. Now, I've never done cold water fishing. I just don't like the cold, period. So I'm not going to expose myself to it any longer than I have to. But what's the difference like between that cold water? Like when you were out there when it was snow on the ground and in the middle of the summer, per se. What's the difference when you're out there fishing?
The biggest difference is as far as the fish go, even fish that like cold water, such as trout, cold water fish, everything slows down. Mm-hmm. Everything slows down. Typically when water gets cold, fish move into deeper water. Whatever body of water that is, they go to the deepest spot, wherever that is. And they just slow down. Mm-hmm. Their eating habits, everything just slows down. So that's one huge difference between fishing when it's cold or wintertime versus when it's, when the weather's warm. The other difference is level of comfort. It is so hard to stay out there fishing long term because your hands get so cold.
Mm-hmm.
It is huge. The pain of having fingers close to being frostbit because you're trying to get that last one. Certain styles of fishing require that you cast and you retrieve.
Right.
Cast and retrieve. Well, your hands exposed.
And like we said, that last one is never the last one. It's the 10th to the last one. Absolutely. But it was supposed to be the last one an hour ago.
Absolutely. So that is the biggest, that's the biggest drawback, in my opinion, to fishing when it's cold. I fished up a Pretty Boy Dam for the first time this year and caught a bunch of, it was catch and release of brown trout. And I get cold easily, but I know how to dress in layers. So I've never gotten cold when I'm fishing in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But there is nothing that I've seen on the market where there are gloves that are almost as if you don't have them on.
Right.
And they stay charged enough where you can feel that your hands are warm and it's 20, 30 degrees. I have yet to find that.
Right.
The hand and foot warmers from Walmart are, they have been very useful.
Yeah. But the reality is you have to tie these knots, these yep. small knots, and that's not getting done with gloves yep. on. It's just yep. not. But even going back to the young men and the different layers, getting them out in the cold is a whole nother
step.
But starting, but the patience that it takes, the discipline. And one deficit we have, especially in the Black community, is swimming. Yeah. And once you get out on that water, especially if you get them out on a pier where it's a bit deeper, it might encourage some young people, young Black people, especially who haven't had the opportunity to learn how to swim, to want to learn how to swim. Mm-hmm. And you can just teach more. And I know you've probably pulled up your share of plastic bags and junk from the bottom of that harbor, which mm-hmm. is a nuisance as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's...
It definitely is. It definitely is. It's the harbor, it really surprised me how far the harbor has come mm-hmm. As far as the water and the water quality. I remember my father and I and my brother, we would go crabbing down on Hanover Street.
Hanover Street, of course. That's where you go crabbing in Baltimore, absolutely. Hanover Street back then.
Absolutely. And to see it then versus now, it's almost like somebody just flipped the switch.
Right.
It looks totally different for the better.
Right.
So a lot of the, notice the, instead of pulling up paper bags last year, the past 2 years, it's been crabs. Like crabs are everywhere.
Right.
Which speaks to the ecosystem. It's healthy. And my wife laughs at me, but I will be explaining to her my frustration about some of the bait I'm using. And the crabs are getting to it. before the fish that I'm targeting to get into it. The turtles too. And so it's to the credit of the efforts that was put into developing a system that makes those waters habitable, that makes them healthy, and it keeps the ecological system within that.
I mean, the aquarium has done a ton. People might see, if they go down near the aquarium in that general area, there are big baskets of oysters that are inside of the water. And that's done purposely, oyster shells, I should say. And there are beds of grass. And you might see some water coming up underneath of them. And that's all done for the ecosystem of the water, where it actually makes the water healthier. It's developing these organisms and all. And I'm not smart enough to talk about what it does, but it actually helps clean the water and make the water healthier.
That's right.
And here's the thing. The bottom of that water is muddy, if I'm not mistaken. So it's going to always have that brown or green color or whatever. So it's not going to be blue or crystal clear like you might see in the South, because it's not this, you know, white sand. That's not what's underneath there. But if you picked up a glass of that water, you'd be able to see right through it.
Yep.
And I don't think people have grasped that concept yet, which I get. As I said in my opening, I understand that.
Right.
But to the credit and to that end, you've caught a lot of big fish out there. And I know that you've done some eating from other places. Have you done the eating from the Inner Harbor?
Yes. Yes.
And you're with us. You're alive. You're not glowing.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that conversation has always been very interesting. I categorize it as interesting because people say, you're going to eat that?
Right.
Like, you know, they feed, primarily speaking of catfish, the catfish, they eat anything. And, you know, it seems like every other week or every 2 weeks or so, you're hearing about a body being found in the harbor. And so people automatically equate one thing to the next.
Right.
And it really isn't that.
It isn't.
When deciding whether to eat, particularly a catfish, you have what's called an eater size. And the catfish that are, you know, pretty big are the ones you generally take a picture of and let them go. But the smaller, younger, the quality and the taste is better.
Okay.
And so they're not, those fish, they move in and out. They're not housed in Fells Point or anywhere for that matter. So they're not absorbing pollutants and toxins and chemicals to the degree that a person may think.
Right.
Now, when it comes to a lake, that's a whole different story.
Right, right, right. Because that's fresh water and they're stocked.
That's right. And,
right,
the problem is that with the runoff that is generated, those bodies of water, some of those fish, particularly largemouth bass, will develop a high content of mercury. And that's dangerous. And so you will see, sometimes you'll see postings that say, hey, you know, monitor how much you're eating because of the mercury.
Right.
And so, you know, you get that with certain bodies of lakes and all, but different ball game with, again, with tidal fishing.
And I believe the website, it might be the Maryland Department of Environment, but they have the notices up. And the notices aren't just in Baltimore. And you'd be surprised. It was a point last season. I say last season because you're an all-season fisherman. But last fall, late into the season, where I believe there was only one warning out at that particular time. And it was a minor one. You know, don't consume, you know, more than X amount of servings per month.
Right.
But everything else was fair game. And then, as much as we would look at the harbor itself as the issue, you could look at Annapolis, you could look at DC and any of the waterways all the way down to basically the Atlantic Ocean, and the same warnings existed. So there are ways to actually educate yourself to see if the quality, the water quality, is okay for you to consume the product that's coming out of there. And I try to educate as many people as I can. And I'm glad that you're, you know, educating as many people as you can, because you're I'm able to see you and see that you're not glowing. You haven't developed a 12th finger, or a third ear.
That's right.
So. And I know a lot of people who go fishing and eat their bounty from down there all the time. So, that's great. Well, one of the things I've heard, and this might be great for our future if it comes to fruition, because they should be winding down the project in the next, hopefully, year or so. Okay. But I heard that Druid Hill Park might actually stock the reservoir for fishing in the future. Wow. You know, they're supposed to have an amphitheater and they're doing a big redo of that area there. But that's what I heard. What are your thoughts if that were to happen? How cool would that be?
If that happened, man, sign me up. Yeah. That would be an amazing time to look forward to.
Yeah.
Guys and gals, for that matter, who do not have the circumstances don't allow them to drive to Columbia or to even drive to Fellows Point, for that matter, and can literally walk from your home, go catch a meal from the lake, enjoy the weather, enjoy the environment. Man, it's nothing like it.
Yeah.
It's
and,
nothing like it.
You know, there are a few places. Living Classrooms is one. There's a place in South Baltimore, Northern Anne Arundel County, that has some mentor groups that teach young people how to fish. But it's very few. It's not widespread at all. And I've talked about it a lot. And I've had some people reach out to me, and some restaurateurs even, that said, if you ever get the program off the ground, we will teach them how to clean and cook and prepare fish. So there are some people who are anxious. They want to see it. And I hope some of this infrastructure money affords the opportunity to expand some fishing throughout the metro area.
Yes,
a few more questions. The live bait versus fake bait. Can you talk about that? Because
sure.
If an amateur fisher person wants to go out there, what do they do?
Right. Live bait typically is your go-to over artificial bait any day of the week. Sometimes live bait, you're not even allowed to use in certain bodies of water. It's almost like it's cheating, because of how effective, it is. But I equally enjoy both, the pros and the cons. With live bait, you have to go buy it. You gotta be able to store it if you're not going to use it same day. You got to buy equipment to keep it alive. It's about convenience and, you know, those kinds of things. Artificial bait, it's like you ain't got to do nothing else. You just bought it, put it in your tackle box or your gear bag, and that's it. Learning how to present artificial bait is a nuance of learning how do you use it. You have to play it as if it's real. So how do you entice the fish to assume that this is something they would eat in the wild?
Right.
So it's I'm a fan of both. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of both. For some species of fish like catfish, catfish, I really can't even put in this category, but I'm gonna put them in this category anyway. Catfish are one of those species of fish where they will pretty much eat anything.
Yeah.
Guys catch catfish on bars of soap, hot dogs, things that
they're scavengers. They hit the bottom of that water for whatever.
Yeah, and it's like okay, wow. Whereas if you're fishing for any other fish, either saltwater or freshwater, nothing gets your attention better than using live bait.
Right. And when we talk about live bait, for those of you who might be new to the fishing world, worms are one of them, the more popular version. But then you have like minnows and you know, the crabs, peeler crabs, and different. It's a ton of different baits. Shrimp. But you know, here, I mean, again, the worms are gonna work out just fine for the most part. But other fish, I mean, for like a striper, a live spot is get you a striper. Or catfish. I remember, I think it might have been the first time you were down on that pier. You had a spot on there, and the catfish was your first bounty, because the catfish was hungry. And he went and got your, you know, spot. So
it's interesting. It's interesting the different ways of offering your bait. That's interesting. It can be live, a live spot where you just take the whole fish and you just put a hook through it, cast it back out, and you wait for a fish to come take it. Otherwise, you can take that very same bait, cut it up in sections, put it on a hook, cast it out, and get the exact same result. And then it seems like other days, the fish are, they know when it's fresh. So if it's not fresh, they won't touch it. It's just so, what works one day will not work the next. And it's just one of those things that go along with fishing.
Yeah, it is a lot of superstition involved in fishing, and fishermen have their idiosyncrasies where they want to be a certain place. But yeah, it's something. And I will encourage everyone to make sure you get your fishing license through DNR. It's about $15. If you want to go out there and fish on any of the coastal or tidal waterways, it's about $15. It's not that costly. Yeah. And I think you can get the add-on of $2 or what have you for a crabbing license. So there are places to crab in and around Maryland, and even downtown Baltimore and Canton and Inner Harbor. You can try your hand at it. It's there, again, just to explore. But so as we come to a conclusion here, I have a, let's say, 18, 20-year-old that has never really fished before. They want to do it. They want to get into it. And they're in the downtown Baltimore area. What do you suggest they do? They you know, they have their big boots up to their knees, and they have their jacket on and all, and their hat. They look the part, but they don't know what to do. What do you set them up? What should they do? What should that person do?
The first thing that I would do, or that I would suggest that they do, is target catching some small fish and use those small fish for bait. And that will open up some possibilities to walk out
of
there.
Where can they get an inexpensive rod? Like, and we didn't get into rods. We don't need to get into that. Yeah. But where can they get an inexpensive rod to catch some of these fish?
Because you can get a very Walmart does very good with their pricing for rods. You do not have to spend a lot of money for a fishing rod. You can buy a fishing rod from Walmart for less than $20. And that's the rod and the reel that comes with it. You can get your fishing license online at a DNR Compass. Whereas back in the day, you had to go to like a Walmart and go to the sporting goods section and, you know, wait for a teller to take 20 years to get there and then, you know, to get you up and out the door. You can do it on your line. You can do it online right from your phone. And that is what I would suggest. Always go with worms and target small fish for bait. And that's what I would suggest.
And they even have some of those combos for starter fishermen where it has the mini little tackle box. Yes. It has the line already through, and I encourage everyone. Well, before I plug any other YouTube, you have to go to you know, fishing with Fidel. It's just fun to watch. I mean, especially, you know, as we were in the pandemic, I mean, what else were we doing? Right. And I find myself for 60 minutes watching Fidel fish, you know, it's intriguing, you know, to watch, you know, as a fisherman myself. And also more recently, I watched you do the catch and cook, you and your wife, and sat down and ate it. So that's, you know, it's fun. It's a great activity. I've been able to go out, you know, with my friend, with other friends, and sit out and drink some wine and go fishing. So relaxing.
Like, yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, it is. My wife and I are really looking forward to getting back down there on the boathouse. That's across from, what's that, Waterview?
Oh, yeah, yeah. On the other side of the Hanover Street Bridge.
Yes, man. Those three floating piers. Yeah. And my wife and I, we would go out. Mm-hmm. We would pack something to eat. I would have the rods in the water. Yeah. We're sipping on some wine. Yeah. And if there's a concert across the way, mm-hmm. you're getting the best of multiple worlds.
Right. And that's the middle branch. And for everybody listening, again, there's a big project underway over in the middle branch where they're going to be redoing that area. Those piers are going to be redone as part of that, by the way. Okay. So at least those piers that are already existing, because those piers are in bad shape. But those piers are going to be redone. A lot of fishing and crabbing goes on over there still to this day. Mm-hmm. So a nice place to check out. Just if you're familiar with Nick's Fish House, it's just opposite that. But just on the other side of the Hanover Street Bridge. But yes, that's a great place to go. And that's part of a redevelopment that's happening, hopefully soon. I'll be having a conversation on zoning and stuff very soon as well to see why some of this stuff takes so long. I tell you, it's fishing is just it's great. And it's something here in this Baltimore area that we, I think, take for granted. And maybe it's just the education piece that we need to concentrate on. And I have to say, the harbor is getting healthier. It isn't where we want it to be. Of course not. We know that. But we should definitely support the efforts to get it there. And we're very fortunate to have a body of water where so many species of fish and also our Maryland crabs, they're right there, right here in Baltimore. I know some of you are going to think that I'm crazy, but imagine an area that is blocked off specifically for you to get your feet wet or just sunbathe right downtown. I think it's possible even in our lifetime. I'm very confident of that. I want to thank you so much, Fidel, and I would encourage all of you to subscribe to Fishing with Fidel on YouTube and watch some of his urban fishing videos. He is not limited to just downtown Baltimore, although those are some very entertaining videos because you get to see the different folks who come up to them who are just downtown enjoying a nice night in Fells Point. And then they see this guy bringing his 7, 8, 10-pound catfish over the edge and they want to stop and talk about it. So thank you, Fidel. And thanks to all of you for listening as we aim to be more. Until next time, take care.